Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Title of the message, Encouragement Regarding Temptation. That's an irony, right? Who ever thought encouragement regarding temptation would ever be in the same sentence? But it is here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let me just, I'll start with this before I read the passage. Because last Sunday night we looked at 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12. And it was dealing with this young church at Corinth, and it was using historical accounts, true accounts of Israel, to highlight general areas of sin, general areas of temptation for people that are claiming to know Christ. Let's just say people that are Christians, okay? And he uses these examples, and here's the four thoughts. And so it's important for us just to remember this, because that's where verse 13 is so important. Because verses 1 through 12 last week could be very depressing. It says, oh, we struggle with all these areas. And you're like, yeah, thanks for nothing. See you later. But verse 13 then is encouraging to say, how do we do this? So the areas that God highlighted through Paul to this church, they'd prefer to eat, drink, and play. Remember, that was just the example at the bottom of Mount Sinai. Moses was up in Mount Sinai, and they didn't know what to do. Aaron, make us gods. And they did debaucherous things. They did evil, horrible things. And they prefer to eat, drink, and play. That is our world that we have today. If we aren't careful Christians, then we will Christianize eat, drinking, and playing in a Christian way. And so if all we do is eat, drink, and play, the devil wins. Because we are useless for the kingdom of God, but it's a great temptation. We are unwilling to follow God's ways. Again, we've talked about that. Maybe I've been on a hobby horse recently. That, the partial obedience is disobedience. It is, I've just used this all the time, that if you go into an employer and say, hey, thank you very much, appreciate you hiring me full time, but I will only show up Monday, Thursday, and Friday morning. But you're going to love me. And you can say, there are a couple rules that you had that I think are ridiculous. I'm going to follow everything else, but not these. Up your nose with a rubber hose. They wouldn't want anything to do with you. But that's how we treat God. We never say it that way, but we pick and choose what we will obey, what we will do. We're unwilling to follow God's ways. Third, we are unhappy with God's provision. God does provide, but we can have a whining, complaining spirit like the Israelites did, but the Israelites are us. And so we are never satisfied with God's provision. I love, my soul is satisfied. I think my soul can be satisfied with Christ, and I just need to subdue this flesh so much that I am experiencing that I've subdued the flesh, and my satisfaction this side of heaven is truly Christ, right? And so part of it is that we are satisfied with what God has provided. God has been good to all of us. I've been in poverty-stricken places, and the Christians there are, generally speaking, happier than the Christians here. And we have just untold more material wealth, stuff, things, food, health, access to health care than anybody. And yet our bent is to backsliding. That's Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. Somebody did look that up for me the other day. We're bent to backsliding, and we must understand that. If you go a day or two and you think you can not be harmed spiritually, don't eat for a week. Yeah, you can do that. But you'll be weakened. If you don't feast on the Word of God, then we will find ourselves unhappy. See, these are just triggers. Are we complaining about our lives? Are we complaining about our situations? And really, who we're complaining against is God. Then fourth, we murmur and complain in the house of God. And they did that with the sons of Korah. We looked at that last week. And they just... they weren't satisfied. They were pressing against Moses and Aaron, and God showed them who he wanted them to lead. But it's just, I don't think we have that issue, but it can. What will happen is if you're unhappy with God's provision, then it'll leak into God's house. And if we are a murmuring and complaining and unhappy people, then it's going to be very difficult to reach people for Christ. So then, verse 13, chapter 10, verse 13. That comes after all this. Look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. First thought here, all temptation is common. Just read this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I want you to understand this. What will destroy our effectiveness for Jesus Christ? Now, I'm talking to people that are truly saved. You don't get to heaven by obedience. You don't get to heaven by doing what Christ orders us to do. It's by faith in Christ and in His work, not our work. But then we serve Him. He saved us to serve. He saved us to honor Him. And so what will destroy our effectiveness for Jesus Christ is sin. Show me someone that's not effective for Christ. I don't know what it is. It's sin. Sin is our great enemy, and our great enemy is this flesh. And so it's, you know, whether it's anger, whether it's lust, whether it's lying, whether it's gossip, whatever it might be, whether it's just a negative disposition, you can overcome it. And here's what I want to tell you. Your issues aren't unique. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Stop acting like God has let you down more than everybody else. When we think the temptation is worse for me, I think we're indirectly blaming God. Here's what is good. I do love this. I love this. This whole verse I love. The first thing is, okay, all right, that's good. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. It's not unique to Steve. I, by God's grace and the power of Christ, and we're going to see all the things He's given us to overcome sin. In fact, I left one out. I'm going to add a bonus one tonight that's not on the screen. I thought it just hit me on the way here, and I was like, "Why?" Anyway, but you're going to get a bonus. So, you know, it's this. I want you to look at this. 1 John 2:15 and 16. For some of you, there's going to be nothing new tonight, but I want you to know this. Is there anybody in here that has overcome sin and you don't need to hear this? You're dismissed. Anybody? Anybody? No. We need to be reminded about this. We can have victory. What are the temptations of the devil? They're common. 1 John 2, verse 15 and 16, many of you know this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's again an identity of, are you a believer? If you love the world, and there is virtually no difference between you and good lost person, and you love what they love, you love their entertainment, you love their alcohol, you love their music, you love their language, you love their ways, you're probably lost. You think Jesus loved the way of the world? He didn't. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is unto him. But I brought you here, for all that is in the world, there are going to be three categories of sin that I think the devil has used from the very beginning. The devil used with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The devil used with Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. And I'm convinced he uses that with us as well. And it's not that the devil isn't, you know, subtle, wily, and deceitful. But he just, there's three areas of focus. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These three areas, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So let's just talk these. And I know many of you know this, but you'd be blown away when I have Bible studies. You'll say, what's the lust of the flesh? 80% of the time, people don't know. And maybe they don't want to answer because they're like, I love it when people just answer and they try. What is the flesh? Just simplify it. We use Bible words sometimes that overwhelm people. The flesh is our body. Okay? And the lust of the flesh is an inordinate just desire that initially isn't bad. Is it bad that my flesh desires to eat? No. Is it bad that my flesh desires to sleep? No. Is it bad that my flesh, you know, No, all the desires of the flesh, but it's an inordinate just a pushing of that. But I will tell you this, we must remember this. My flesh will never want anything good. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh would be the desires of the flesh. My flesh wants relationship. But the devil has perverted everything with relationships, and it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, I ask people all the time in Bible studies, I'll say, is the S word, okay, is that bad? Is that evil? 75% of the time, what's the answer I get? Yes. Yes. And it's not, but the devil has perverted it so bad that the answer I get is yes. The relationship between a man and a woman in marriage is wonderful, beautiful, of God, and it's holy. It's not nasty. It's not ungodly. But the devil has so perverted it that 75%, I'm just giving you what I in my mind as I, 75% of the time people say, yes, that's bad. No, but most of the time, if we don't discipline this flesh, we will find ourselves in allowing our flesh to pursue things that ought not. So lust of the flesh, it's my body wanting something or my body not wanting something, right? It's my body will never want to read the Bible. My flesh will never want to read the Bible, never want to tell people about Jesus, never want to go to church, never want to serve, never want to do anything. And so, you know, I was telling you this morning, when I get negative, I'm walking in the flesh. I'm thinking in the flesh. I'm thinking in the spirit. I'm putting everything, you know, and it's just, if you want to be negative, there's plenty to be negative about. You want to be unhappy, you can be unhappy every single day. But I think we're walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. Second, lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. Just, what we see. What we see. It doesn't have to be, you know, the typical issue with men in particular, right? You see a woman and you think inappropriately, but it's just that we see, we want, we covet, right? And Exodus 20, we went through that recently, really does a great delineation of that. You know, it could be your neighbor's wife, it could be your neighbor's donkey, it could be your neighbor's house, it could be you're like, you're never satisfied here, never content. We always want what we don't have. Lust of the eyes. I'm going to take you very quickly and show you it's exactly the tool that devil used. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life. The pride of life, it is that we're just full of ourselves. It's the, you know, I tell people this, the root of the devil's sin was that he abode not in the truth. But the sin itself, I think, was pride. He lifted himself up with pride, but pride came because he didn't abide in the truth. I really believe that from John 8:44, but we can have a discussion about that. But the sin that manifested of not abiding in the truth was pride. I will be like the Most High. Every single person in this room, you struggle with pride. Whoever the most humble person is in this room, you struggle with pride. The Bible never encourages us to love ourselves. It doesn't say to hate yourself, but it says love your neighbor as yourself. We must battle being consumed with ourselves, puffed up with ourselves, and always making, how can I look better? Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'll just show you one verse. Genesis chapter 3. The devil was tempting Eve. He gave her... He questioned God's word. He contradicted God's word. And then he basically said, you know, you will be as gods. Gave her half truth in verse 5. Your eyes will be opened. Were their eyes opened? Oh, they were. Did they become as gods? No, they didn't. But look at verse 6, Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see the lust of the eyes. Look at this. And when the woman saw lust of the eyes, that the tree was good for food. Lust of the flesh. They could eat of every tree of the garden except for one. And that's the food that she wanted. That's what I want. Lust of the flesh. Look at this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, there's a couple of denotations of lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. What is that? Pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I could take you to Matthew 4. I'm not going to do that. With Jesus, the devil was really the temptation of the devil in its root. You've heard me say this recently. Was that he questioned who Jesus was, and he challenged Jesus, prove. We better be careful. That's the real temptation. When God says they tempted him in the wilderness, the way they tempted him in the wilderness was they were demanding that God prove himself to them. The devil was demanding that Jesus prove himself, that he was the Son of God, but he used, what was the first one? Turn these stones into bread. It could have been a combination. Obviously, the first one you think of is lust of the flesh. He had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Would it have been wrong for Jesus? Now, I don't think it'd be wrong for Jesus to supernaturally turn stones into bread as he's walking down the road. You could argue with me. It's fine if you do. But I think it was sin because he would have been submitting to the challenge of the devil to prove himself. So it could be lust of the flesh combined with pride of life, but you'll see that all throughout the temptation of Jesus. I want you to be encouraged. See, if you're struggling with sin, it's, I think, these three avenues. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I tell you this all the time, and I'm going to explain this. Clay, see if you can remember. What would I say? What's in this little head right here? I know that's the challenge, right? You think Lauren Hott's pregnant? No, but she's not. Okay, so it is just so in case somebody just listened to the first part of the message and it got so okay. What would I say is the key to overcoming sin? Oh, that's good. Okay, so abiding in Christ, loving Christ, abiding in Christ, right? Because abiding in Christ is almost used synonymously. I think it's in verse 9 of John 15 that said, abide in his love, right? So abiding in Christ would be abiding in his love, loving Christ, right? Boy, Clay. Clay gets, somebody give him a Sour Patch Kid after the service tonight. But here's what I want to tell you. A way that we demonstrate love for Christ is that we would be diligent and we would research the things that God tells us how we can overcome sin. You follow me? If we love him enough, I want to search the scriptures. I want to know what he's told me because I know he cares for me. I know he wants best. And so, because sometimes loving Christ, it's so nebulous, right? So what do I mean by nebulous? You can spell it. Clay will give you his Sour Patch Kids. What I mean is, it's really, what does love look like? I want to get it very specific. Part of love would look like, I love Christ so much that I'm going to study his word and find out how I can have victory over that sin, rather than just going, until I'm 60. Right, so I still hope I'm conquer all of my besetting sins before I'm 60. It's got a couple months. But we love Christ enough that says, this is the instruction manual how I can honor him. Follow me? There's specifics that are related to love. You can tell your spouse you love them all day long. What is it that they see versus just hear? What do we do that would cause them to think, she does love me, he does love me? And if we love Christ enough, we'll research the scriptures in order to have victory. Second thing I want you to do, God will not allow more than we can handle. Just look at this. We're one verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Isn't that good? God is faithful. That is worth a message in and of itself. My ability to overcome sin is not my faithfulness, it's God's faithfulness. If you have not indulged in particular sins, it's the faithfulness of God, not the faithfulness of Randall. And I know you'd agree with that. We must give glory to where glory is due, right? It's the goodness of God. God is faithful. And so God is faithful. He says this. Look at this. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. I say this when I say God will not allow more than we can handle. In this sense, and I've heard people I love and I like, and they'll say, the scriptures never say that. It does here, and it's related to temptation. God won't give us more than we can handle. His grace will be sufficient. I think there's overwhelming evidence that not everybody has equal hardships. And the harder your difficulty is, you just may be able to survive. But God won't tempt us, won't suffer us to be tempted above that we were able. I just want to show this verse real quick so we don't misunderstand, because of the way I even worded it, it could cause you to misunderstand. Let's look at James 1 just to be calibrated in all this before I go off into more of this. Look at this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. You're going to see, it's the word tempted is used in Genesis 22 where it said God tempted Abraham. All that word means is tested. It wasn't tempting to sin. That's what this verse is talking about. It is enticing us to sin. God never puts something in our path that would cause us to sin. God never does that. He cannot do that. When you and I sin, it's our fault. We're going to see that in this verse. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. Right? That's what I love. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as the man. That's another thing that says this. It's not God. It's just common to man. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's the pattern of sin. It still amazes me. I would love you to ask people, why do you think we're all going to die? No one has ever given me the right answer, ever. Because of sin. We're going to die because of sin. We're going to die because of my sin. I'm going to die because of my choices. Yeah, I have inherited consequences of sin. My DNA is worse than Adam's 150 generations ago. But I will die because of my own sin. When I'm drawn away of my own lust, I'm then going to die. Understand that. It's important. God will not allow us. He will not give us more than we can handle. That is good news. So every time sweat beads start coming down your head, or if you blow up in anger, you didn't have to. You didn't have to. Right? He will not give us more than we can handle. God makes a way to escape. Just look at this. Back to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That is encouragement. I've told you this before. It's been a while. But when you blow it, you should go back and examine it and say, there was a door. There was a way to escape. That's how I could have overcome that sin. I didn't have to do that. And sometimes it just might be you walk away. We're going to see that in Proverbs. Don't get in the path of evildoers. Get in the path of evildoers, you're probably going to walk with him or get run over. It is, he always makes a way to escape. You know, I love Finding Nemo. And, you know, you remember this. This is how dumb we are. Was it Dora? It's the Dory. Dory? Dory. I had a boss named Dora. I wanted it to be Dora. It was a long story, but I'm not going to tell you that one. But so you know the Finding Nemo, right? So Dory. You know one of my favorite spots in that was when the shark, who has gone vegetarian, right? And he's holding a we don't eat meat session or something, and he's chomp, 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 convincing the other sharks, we do not eat meat. And so Dory, or one of the fish, got a little cut on him, and little blood, you know, goes by, and he's up there going, we don't eat meat. I'm having fish tonight, you know. And so then Dory is looking for the way to escape, and they can't find it. She goes, ah, and there's a door that says escape, and she goes, E-S-C-A-P-A, escape. She goes, but we need a way to escape. It was that. You see, sometimes we must know and we must look. God will help us. He'll help us escape. Now, I want to take you to just, there's five things, and I'm going to add a sixth. Five things. The first thing I want you to see is the Word of God. And this is a famous passage, but just remind you as well, when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil was presenting temptation to him, he overcame it by quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. He always quoted the scriptures. And so I take you back here, it says this. This, if you just know Psalm 119:11, you've missed really some sweetness of those previous two verses. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Every young man here, if you're saved, you want to do what's right. How do you do that? Every young woman wants to cleanse her way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. We talk about it often. Listen to God. Get in his word. Listen to God. Look, I tell you this, I love our scripture reading. I do go back and I review history and I try to think, you know, what did old time people do? They read the scriptures. And I know it might seem like it's just going through the motions. I don't want it to be through the motions. I want you to think, oh wow, this is an opportunity for me to hear the word of God. Don't check out when the Bible's being read. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Just another opportunity to get God's word in you. Get God's word in you. Get it in you. And he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Can you feel that, O Christian? That's my, let me not wander from thy commandments. But I have some responsibility. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to print out more 100 verses every Christian should know. I've passed out 30 of them now. And so here's my promise. Anybody that memorizes all 100 verses from that booklet, I will take you out to eat wherever you want to go. Guaranteed. I'll buy the waters. Wherever you want to go, I believe in it that much. It'll be a delightful celebration for me. Wherever you want to go. If it's a lady, my wife will go. And then we're going to go to McDonald's. So I will never go out with a lady, but we will. So Alex Smith, if you memorized all 100 verses, where would you go out to eat? Texas Roadhouse. Is that where you go out to eat? You'd rip your pastor off. And then I'd be having to go on deputation in order to survive that. But it's that important. It's that important that you and I put it in this heart. And you know this? First, get it in your head. And then ask God to take it 18 inches into your heart. The Bible does use the mind and the heart interchangeably a lot of times, but there is a little bit different. There's something that says, I want it. You know, first get it here, and then get it here. But thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It's the greatest tool God's given us to overcome sin is understanding wisdom. We've been going through that on Wednesday nights in Proverbs. It's God's word. Second way of escape I want you to see is prayer. Prayer. This is the number one neglected thing that I had in my own life. I don't do it in rote fashion, but Jesus, I just never really grasped the importance of these limited things Jesus included in his model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not to be just repeated in rote fashion. It was to be a model of content, a model of what we should include. But here it is. He said this, and lead us not into temptation. It's this, oh God, keep me from temptation. Oh God, just don't let, you know, it's this, don't let me come around the corner, whoa! Tempted. God, keep me from that. But you know, it also is this, you and I have a responsibility that we aren't putting ourselves in the way of temptation. You know where you shouldn't be. You know who you shouldn't hang around. You know that phone call you shouldn't answer. Don't answer it. Don't go there. And keep yourself from temptation. But I pray that God would keep temptation from me, that I don't walk around the corner. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me, deliver us from evil. Look, don't do it in some superstitious fashion, but you ought to do it with your heart and say, oh God, I've never taken you up on this. I've never truly believed that you would deliver this, but I am desperate, oh God. I'm desperate. I am struggling with sin. I'm struggling with sin, and it's not your fault. You didn't tempt me. It's never your fault, but oh God, would you deliver me from evil today? I will tell you, I've seen it. Watched it in my life. When I pour out my heart to God and say, how about Sunday? How about Sunday, God, you deliver me from evil. And then when I wake up on Monday, it's a theme of my heart now. I told you Psalm 51:10 was for about 10 years of my life. You know, creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. You go, you should be doing that still. I should. My spirit, I want my spirit to be the spirit of Christ. But today it's like this. When I wake up on Monday, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh God, please, may I live for you today. May I think like you today. I pray you'll deliver me from evil, keep me from temptation, but may I do my part as well. I know this. What will destroy my life and the effectiveness for Jesus Christ is sin. That's the glory of eternity. No more sin. But Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. This is the issue. Are you asking God for help without blaming him? I did this most of my life. Oh, God, I need this. And if I didn't get this, then it was his fault. I never said that consciously. But he's given me all I need. I'm going to focus on what Jesus said. Oh, God, keep me from temptation. And oh, God, deliver me from evil. That's what I want. Help me, Father, that I would walk with you, that I can have sustained victory, that then I won't get puffed up with the victory and then fall because I'm so excited about victory. Does it sound like I've been there before? Maybe you have too? Stop being impressed with yourself if you are having victory. Be impressed with the faithful God that helped you have victory. You follow me? You can have victory. I can too. And so, are you praying about it? Are you really searching the scriptures, applying God's word that you might, you struggle with anger? You should do a study on anger. Struggle with lust? You should do a study on lust. What God says. Struggle with lying? You should do a study on lying. Right? That'd be good. So third thing I want you to see is resisting the devil. So you know, we word of God, you know, prayer, then you got to resist. Right? The Bible says this, James 4:7, you all are familiar with this. See, I'm not giving anything new, but I'm telling you this. If we're still struggling with sin, are we listening to God? Are we doing what he says? I'm talking to myself. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submission, submission, submission. You see, it's God that is faithful. It's God that'll give me the victory. It's really, I've got to stop counting on Steve. That's when I get frustrated. That's when I get... unlikable. When I'm trying to make you submit, right? I want to sometimes. Not you necessarily, Damien, but maybe. No, but it's when I'm trying to do it in my own might. Not by might, not by my power, saith the Lord, but by my spirit. I've got to submit and say this. Father, help me understand what it means to submit. I'm going to submit to you. This is a moment of temptation. I'm just telling you, I don't believe that we have to resist that long. I just think we have to resist and then get out of the situation, and I don't think it's that long. Ask other older Christians, people that have been saved longer. I really think in 10, 15 minutes, you can move on. We're much like toddlers, right? I do love, you know, I've been reminded, all I have to do with Callum is distraction. That's a shiny thing. That's a shiny thing. Oh, we hear that shiny. Oh, you want to toss it? Yeah, great. Yeah, I know, you're saying he's not a dog. Close. But Callum. But anyway, but we're the same way. Ask God to distract you. Find something to distract you. How about just seeking help from God's word? I'm telling you, if we understand this, it's not like my wife was in labor, 27 hours with one of our kids, right? Yeah, I would know if I was wrong. She's like, you left off 7 minutes, 64 seconds, which would be another minute and 4 seconds, but who cares? But it is 27 hours. I don't think there's ever a time where we have to resist that long. It's moments. It's spurts. Get away. Flee. Run to the Lord. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's an amazing thing. When we submit to God, the devil will flee because God is taken over. Dear Father, get him. And then you move away. You don't sit around and play with temptation. You don't sit around. I love this. Can I talk a little bit in code what we talked yesterday? Right? So it is, I love Ethan. You know, he was fishing. Is it too much? You just tell me, stop. You liar. All right, so he's fishing, right? Fishing. And this little girl, 4 or 5, came up. And, you know, he was smart. You know, she wanted to help me to fish, right? He was like, ah. You know, and this mom was over there. And she gave the thumbs up. He gave the thumbs up to fish for a little bit, you know, in eyesight. No, I'm nothing wrong. And, the woman over there, she's looking good, right? He's like, oh, hey, how you doing? And I love this. That I believe this, you know. I mean, the first thing was, whoa, hope she's a Christian, right? But I'm not saying you said that, but once you got to know, you're like, oh, probably need to back off here, right? But then I think you still had a desire to see if we could help her with Christ. And I told him, I said, let it go. I said, invite her to church, and that's it. Let it go. Don't text her. Don't anything. Here's why. Get away from the situation. I'm not going to go into all the background. She was a woman that is in a trade that knows how to manipulate men, right? And she was looking good, though, right? And that could suck you in, right? You're no different than any other guy, right? And I'm going to tell you this. But what you have to do is run away. Don't think you can evangelize her and overcome her. No, run away. And maybe you could even disagree with me that I said invite her to church and let it go. That's it. She probably won't come. But that's not your evangelistic territory. The reason I tell you that is because I don't want you to be chewed up and spit out and destroyed, because in Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to talk about her. And that doesn't mean that this woman was all that, right? But probably, right? It doesn't mean that she doesn't need help. We need to help people like that. But women need to help those women. You understand that? Not we men. Is it okay? Too much? I just gave him advice because I said, you know, Ethan, I love that, but run away. Run away, right? Because that's part of resisting the devil. Resist, get away. Resist, go find some other thing that will cause you to overcome that. But really, it's submission to Christ. Fourth thing I want you to see is shield of faith. Shield of faith. Did I put this entire passage here? I did. All right, this is the armor of God. But you're going to see the last piece here. It's this. You guys know this. Also, go through it quickly. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is the whole thing, but I'm going to give you the above all at the end. So you could include all these if you wanted, but I'm going to give you the above all weapon. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What that's telling us, our battle is spiritual. Our battle is with the kingdom of darkness. Our battle is with the kingdom of the devil. He's the prince and the ruler of this world, all under the authority of Christ. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. He's talking about, you know, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We talked about God's word, having your loins girt about with truth. You can also see it's going to be mentioned again, having the breastplate of righteousness. Do right. Listen to God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One way to overcome the devil is to be gospel focused. Take the gospel everywhere you go. Share the gospel with everyone you know. That's a defense against sin. Did you know that? Did you ever think about that before? It is be gospel centric. Have it on your feet. Everywhere you go, share the gospel. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherever you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Todd and I have talked this quite extensively recently. The shield of faith. It is this. Will you believe God will give you victory? Do you believe God will help you? Do you believe you can overcome what God's told you you can overcome? Do you believe there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Do I believe that? And my answer for most of my life is no. If I take the shield of faith and I go out there and I know this, nothing can overcome me in Christ. That doesn't mean I'm going to be foolish and run into temptation. You follow me? There was a man many, many years ago. I've gone blank on his name just right now. But he was a preacher, and I think he had good motives. He was a preacher in New Orleans. And the night people. And in due time, he fell. I don't know if I think he was a Christian. I mean, but what he did was, I think he had righteous, godly desires to help those people. Somehow, we have to help people without immersing in their world of temptation, in their world of evil, and understanding the wiles of the devil and the deceit of the devil, and knowing that he's going to attack you more if you are faithful. And so when I talk about we can have confidence in God, but not foolishness, you follow me? God is not wanting us to be foolish, but he wants us to be confident in him. We can have confidence. We've seen that wisdom is confidence in God. But it's the shield of faith. Above all, having the shield of faith. And then fifth, and then I'm done with except for the bonus, is focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. And so I just take you to this simple passage, Hebrews 12. Famous passage for sin. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the races that is set before us. How do we do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Focus on Christ. Seeking Christ, like we talked about Zacchaeus this morning. Just wanting to be with Christ, being conscious that I'm with Christ, is really the key. You know, I didn't put these in any particular order, but it is... You know, focus on Christ is the key. And I think I did. This is the summary. But if there's the sixth, does anyone happen to have a thought what my sixth would be? Can you get in there? Can you get in there? A church home, without a doubt. How could I miss that? Let me tell you, you all help me want to do what's right. You all help me. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to come here and just, you know, preach and go home and live like the devil. The church home's critical. It's God's plan. How could I leave that off? Because escape, I didn't see the obvious. Right? It is just so you know, and I'm preaching to the choir. It's a blessing beyond imagination. I even want to encourage you. If your kids rebel, you did the best thing for your kids. I'm telling you, my observation in life is this. The kids that rebel, that went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, they can't get away from it. Don't you dare question that. I promise you. We are in a world that it's a lot of work, because we have so many that have no clue what commitment to God is. Don't you ever question your commitment to God's assembly. It is a big deal. If your kids rebel, It wasn't because you took him to church every time the doors were opened. Yeah, you're not a perfect parent. You probably have some culpability in that, right? It is, but it's this. God is faithful. You trust him and you do what's right. But I promise you this. Your kids aren't terrible because you are faithful to a church of the Lord. Be faithful. It's critical. Here's what I love. You're struggling with sin? Every single person that's honest would say, yeah. Yeah. God gives us the answers. We could go on and on. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not tempt you above it. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. Isn't that good? Oh, Christian. Onward, Christian soldiers. Let's serve the Lord. Let's honor him. And let's not be satisfied with, well, I'm 80% better than I used to be. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for progress. I'll tell you this, though. I believe I can conquer besetting sins. Do you? God is faithful. Let's pray.